Good evening, everybody, and hello. I hope you are all well. I hope we've all had a great day. I've had a very, very interesting day. I woke up nice and early this morning because it is, of course, well, it was election day yesterday, but it is, of course, the day when we get the election results. And ever since I was a young guy in the BNP, I always have got really excited over election day. And this election day, I've been more excited and more invested in than usual. In recent years, I haven't been this into things. But this year, there's been a lot to talk about and there's been a lot on the line. And I've been really looking forward to looking at the results. And I'm going to do it with you guys tonight. So we're here live on Rumble and Odyssey. Please, please share the stream. And if you like my work, if you like what I do, if you think this is important, or if you have a question, please ask a super chat. You can only super chat now through Rumble, but any financial gift, any super chat, any donation that comes in with a question attached, I will answer. And I've got to say this, I've been posting results and commentary all day on Telegram especially, and a lot of people have reached out and a lot of people have asked questions, etc. And I've answered questions all day. But if people would like me to answer questions tonight, I'm more than happy to do so. And a super chat costs you virtually nothing. $3, $5, $10. You know, you can give more if you want. It's very much appreciated if you do. Obviously, we've had the problem of entropy going down. So the only place you can support me now is Rumble. So please do consider giving something. And if you do have one of those questions or have something on your mind, please ask. You can also now follow me on Substack. My Substack is linked in both of the chats, and I have a new essay out today. It's a very important essay, and it is called Zionist Power Grab, New Draconian UK Laws Incoming. And there are some very worrying new laws coming into play post the Golders Green stabbing. These laws will take away the rights of everyone, and I've detailed exactly how in a long essay. It's over 3,000 words. It's extremely comprehensive. It's a proper deep dive, more comprehensive than my scripted videos were, because I can be really as long as I want in written format. So check that out. Now, you can also donate via crypto. All the crypto links in the description below. Again, please give generously if you can. And write to me if you want to get in touch with me or need my help at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. There we have it. Now, let's get into tonight's show and let's start talking about these election results, which are still coming in, by the way. Now, this is really interesting. Some of the results came in last night, and the results that didn't come in last night, they were meant, everything that didn't come in last night was meant to come in today because the counts all started at around 10 a.m. And I thought to myself, well, 10 a.m., that gives 9 hours to do the counting. Surely everything will be in by then. But it isn't. There's still quite a lot being counted. But I mean, what am I going to do? Wait till 10 o'clock to start the stream, or maybe do the stream tomorrow night. I don't know. People are talking about it today. It's the hot news topic, so we're diving into it. So there you have it. So we're going to go off what we have got, which is all we can do. Now, we're going to look at several things. Firstly, we're going to look at how the micro parties did, how the little ethno-nationalist parties did. That's going to be something that's interesting to really just this community, to ethno-nationalists and people involved in ethno-nationalist politics over the years. Then we're going to look at the big national race. We're going to look at how the big parties did. Big parties, we're talking Reform, we are talking the big three, historically the main two, Labour, Tories, Lib Dems, and we're also going to be looking at the Greens. And when we expand that to Scotland and Wales, we'll look at the SNP in Scotland and we'll look at Plaid Cymru in Wales. Now, we're going to analyse these things from two perspectives, from the nationalist perspective, but also from the public perspective, because those are very different things. And I talk about this quite a bit, but how we see things as ethno-nationalists who are dialed in and have a very, very specific set of needs and wants from politicians and have a very, very specific concern, which is largely based around demographic change and foreign control of British politics. We look at things through that lens and that lens alone. And we look at things under a microscope. So little things bother us that wouldn't necessarily bother the public. So, for example, something that turns us off the Reform Party is the fact that Nigel Farage loves Israel, whereas for normal people, they probably wouldn't notice that and it probably wouldn't affect them. That wouldn't get under their skin. Things that would maybe get under their skin was something a young friend of mine pointed out to me today, which I'd forgotten about, was that Farage brought in a number of ex-Tories that had caused so much damage to the UK. And that negatively affected the perception of Reform a few months before the election. So things like that would bother the public and it'd bother us. But maybe the Zionist issue, it's not really seen by the public because they have a more surface view of politics. So we're going to look at how we think, but we're also going to look at how the public might think. So we're going to look at both of those perspectives. So we're looking at it through our eyes, but also through the eyes of Joe Public. Now, one thing I've noticed over the last day, and I don't want to be big-headed here, and I'm not going to call anybody out or start having a go at people, because we're going to do that in a minute. I'm going to do that in a minute, but not now. So just wait. If you're waiting for the drama's coming, but the drama isn't here just yet. Because I'm kind of like cooking here. I'm cooking. And when I cook, you know, I add a few ingredients and the drama goes in at a very specific time. And now is not the time for the drama. This is maybe sort of the time for, I don't know, like the onions, a few spices, maybe a little bit of garlic chopped up in the pan so it all comes to a bit of a simmer before we put the main stuff in. But one thing I've noticed, and without naming any names or shaming anyone, because it's not really these people's faults, there's been a lot of bad takes on this election. And one thing that struck me over the last sort of 24 hours is actually how little people in the nationalist sphere know about elections. And I don't just mean how little they know about, you know, the big picture stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, they know so little about the way elections actually take place, the processes, the counts. And I kind of am a little bit out of touch with people. And I'm not looking down on people when I say this. I'm out of touch with people on this because I was heavily embedded in the British National Party for 10 years. And I was at the very forefront of elections. I stood in elections. I regularly went to election count. When I wasn't standing myself, I was designing people's leaflets, masterminding people's campaigns. I was in charge of three of the parties, or the three biggest election wins the party ever had. I was in charge of the Barking and Dagenham leaflets and campaign with Richard Barnbrook. It was me and him who did that in 2006. That was the BNP's biggest ever win with 12 councils elected on one day in one area. I was in charge of the GLA material, again, with working with Richard Barnbrook. And that was something which resulted in our second biggest win. And our biggest win were the two MEPs. And it was actually me who came up with the vast majority of that leaflet. But not only did I come up with the majority of it, it was actually me who lobbied for a leaflet of that style, because I said this is what's going to do it. So I was really involved in this, and I wasn't just involved with the design. I was involved with dealing with Royal Mail in terms of sending the material out. I was involved in going to election counts, knowing how the processes worked. And I kind of take this for granted, which is a sort of a bit of a me problem, really, because I see this as like, well, you know, surely everyone knows this, but a lot of people don't. There's a lot of people who are new to nationalism and have never taken part in an election in any way, let alone masterminded big campaigns or gone to an election count. And because of that, people are constantly saying, well, I think this is how it works. And I'm sort of correcting them. And I probably sound sort of as if I'm getting a little bit frustrated, like, no, mate, that's not how it works. Okay, well, no, that's not, no, you're not right on there. This is why they do this. This is why this happens. This is why it's hard to commit electoral fraud. But electoral fraud does happen through this particular mechanic, but not in really in the counting process. And people are constantly asking me questions and I'm giving these answers. And I realize it's because now most nationalists have not been involved in electioneering, especially not to the level that I have been, because there isn't that kind of premier nationalist party that everyone's involved in. So if people want to ask me questions about this, please do. But one of the reasons why I think it's quite interesting for people maybe to listen to me is because I do have the answers to these things. I've been doing this for 26 years, and 10 of those years, a whole decade, I was very, very much involved in electioneering. And even till recently, I still have been, because I've helped people in parties like the English Democrats. Everyone knows I design the leaflets. I help arrange, the Royal Mail drop-offs. I help do the Royal Mail has to vet your leaflets. I do things like that. And I've done this for years, so it's second nature to me. But if you do want to know stuff about this, please do consider asking me. You can super chat me and I'll answer any question about it. So if you want to say, is it likely there's widespread electoral fraud? I can explain how electoral fraud actually happens and why it doesn't happen at the counting of the ballots and why it's very hard to do things like ballot box stuffing. However, it's much easier to abuse things like proxy votes and postal votes. But that mainly goes on amongst, what can we say, migrant communities. So if you want to ask anything about this, please do. But be assured, I'm one of the few people who can actually talk about this. And there's a lot of online talking heads today, people who are content creators, people who do a lot online, people who, tweet, produce YouTube videos, do great Substacks, but they don't actually know about how elections work. And that's why people have often sort of got very angry with me when I've sort of made predictions. So one of those big predictions was about just name it the Homeland Party. Bit of drama for you here. And I said, look, they're going to do disastrously. I more or less laid out what sort of percentage votes they were going to get. And people said, no. You know, they had all these reasons why it was going to go that way. And I explained how it definitely wasn't going to go that way. But that's because I understood how to predict how elections would come out, not because I've got some crystal ball or because I'm some sort of, savant who can sort of look into the future. Oh, well, if you read the tea leaves, this will happen and that. No, I don't do that. I just have great experience in it. So it makes it easier for me to make these predictions because I've been there. I've been at the, I've been at the counts. I've been involved in campaigns. I know what kind of campaigns yield good results and I know what kind of campaigns yield bad results. I know what good branding is. I know what a good leaflet looks like just because I've done it all. It's sort of not me being a know-it-all. It's just this wealth of experience I've built up. So if you do want to ask me questions, please, please do. It's a good reason to super chat and it helps me out. So first, as we're getting into this, let's talk about which elections were held, because there seems to have been some confusion today over which elections were held. So across the mainland, and we're only going to deal with the mainland here, guys, Northern Ireland, leave it to itself, leave it to its own devices. It's really very separate to the mainland. But on the mainland, there are about, I think it's 18,635 council seats in total, I believe, around there. Of those, 17,000 approximately are in England. Now, the elections held today in England were council elections. And of those roughly 17,000 seats, almost a third of them were up for grabs, 5,066 in total. Now, council seats are basically your lowest rung of elected officials. Anyone that starts talking about parish councillors, go away. We're not talking about that. They're not real elected officials. Most parish councillors are unelected. They're not actually counted by any party or any authority. This is really your lowest rung of genuine power in the UK. Now, generally speaking, a unitary authority will be made up of a number of council seats. So when I used to stand in Leeds, there were 33 council seats in Leeds. And for most council seats, there are three sitting councillors. That means Leeds City Council used to be made up of 99 councillors. And you tend to elect them one each year on a four-year cycle. And what you'll immediately say is, what are you talking about, Mark? If you vote for one each year and there's three of them, how can it be on a four-year cycle? It's because you have a year off. So you'll vote for one councillor, then the next, year off, and then the four-year cycle begins again. So generally, council elections are held in thirds, although there are times when the entire council is up for grabs. And that was the case this time in certain areas, including the area I live, which is Wakefield. All three councillors in every ward were being elected at the same time. And that usually happens when they redraw the boundaries, because over time there becomes population imbalances as new houses are built, people move, old estates get knocked down, and then you get one area with loads of people living in it and one area with fewer people living in it. So they redraw the boundaries to balance out the population. So you don't have 12,000 people in one ward represented by three councillors, and then 2,000 people in the next ward represented by three councillors, because that's unfair. You know, you have to have it more or less, if there's 14,000 people, 7,000 roughly in one ward, 7,000 in the other. It makes it fair, makes it more equitable, makes it more democratic. Now, there would have been more council seats up for grabs this time, but Labour councils actually voted against holding council elections and put those elections off because they feared what was going to happen. That was very corrupt. It was wrong. I think it should have been deemed illegal. I can't believe it was allowed to happen, but then I can because I know what the system's like. Now, across Britain, there are across England, there are 136 councils where these roughly 17,000 seats occupy. And as I said, 5,066 of those seats were up for grabs on Thursday. But it wasn't just England that went to the polls on Thursday. It was also Scotland and Wales. Now, Scotland and Wales both have their own devolved government. There is the Scottish Parliament and there is also the Welsh Assembly. And they went to the polls. Now, this makes this election particularly interesting. And it's particularly interesting because it is 2 years after Labour initially got in. So it's not quite the halfway mark. Labour will be in for, they can take it, draw it out for 5 years. So we don't have kind of an exact midterm, because an exact midterm of a 5 year term would be 2.5 years. But you could argue the midterms are either the 2 or 3 year point. But this is a very telling point in their governance, in their period of governance. And it's very, very important, but it's also very important because there were major elections in both England, Scotland and Wales. So essentially, you're going to get a barometer of the mood of the whole of Great Britain, the whole of mainland Britain. Their opinions can be gauged. On Thursday, they all got to go to the polls. If you were living in England, not everyone, because I said it was a lot of council seats, not all, a lot of council seats were up for grabs. A lot of people went to the polls, but enough for you to gauge the mood of England. And then the whole of Wales and the whole of Scotland also went out to vote. So that's also important because you're going to see how they voted. So I would say that this is the most accurate barometer of how the mainland is feeling at the moment, of the current mindset of the people. Now, the first thing we're going to deal with today is the nationalist micro parties that stood in England. And let's go through the nationalist micro parties. There's Advance UK. They stood 18 seats. Britain First. They stood no seats. The British Democrats. They stood 5. The BNP scandalously stood 0. They're basically dead. English Democrats stood 9. Great Yarmouth First. Little asterisk by that. They stood 10. The Heritage Party stood 17. The Homeland Party stood 0. Now, I want to weigh in on that. I warned people about this. It was nothing more than a grift operation. They split or attempted to split PA because they were all in for elections. They're not even standing for election. This is the biggest round of elections there will be until the next parliamentary elections. And they've totally swerved it, because it's not really there to stand in elections. It's there to make people money. They've taken, I've been told, over £100,000 in donations. They're paying people huge amounts of money. They're going on these big foreign trips and they've not made a good on any of their promises. It's a scam. It's a con. That's the Homeland Party. It's basically dead. If you run in a political party and you're not standing in elections and you're slagging off other nationalists, which they do, say, oh, you know, if you're not standing in elections, you're not the real deal. Well, you're not standing in elections. Absolute scam, total failure. Anyone that's donated money to them has essentially been defrauded, because they promised that they were going to go in hard. They were going to go down the electoral route. They were going to teach everyone how to do it electorally. They haven't even stood. They stood one the first year, then stood five the next year, zero this year. But this is the biggest round of elections since they were formed. And you would have thought this would have been their time to shine. Total con man. And the people making a living off it, taking people's donations, going all over Europe, getting drunk, eating burgers, fighting in the street with their shirts off. Total disgraces. I've been wanting to say that for a while. And I'll put a little mark on my chalkboard there. Another time Mark was right. The National Front, they stood zero. Again, once the biggest nationalist party in the UK. The National Housing Party stood eight. The National Rebirth Party stood one. I'll go back to that in a minute. Restore Britain, little asterisk there. They actually stood zero this time and UKIP nine. Now, so far, I have gathered some data and I haven't found any of these micro parties getting more than 2.5%. In fact, most of the candidates that stood for any of the parties mentioned, with the exception of Restore / Great Yarmouth First, which we're going to deal with separately, is a whole separate piece. I'm not talking about that them here. I'm talking about the other parties. Most of the parties I've talked about and their candidates ended up polling less than 2% in the seats they stood, in the wards they stood. Absolutely pointless. A total navel gazing episode. Now, I warned people a while back. I said, when you're going up against a party like Reform, which is essentially the £600 gorilla in the room. And look, I know they're not our guys. I know they're not really anti-immigration as we are. I know they're not anti-Zionist at all. But to the public, Reform are seen as, you know, the anti-immigration party. So when these small micro parties go up against them, they get destroyed. And this has been humiliating. But it's not only been humiliating, it's been costly in terms of money and manpower. And I've been saying this for a very long time. Nationalists need to stop doing this. They need to stop humiliating themselves. Nationalists are getting votes. These micro ethno-nationalist parties are getting votes that are less than comedy candidates. You have people like Count Binface getting larger numbers of votes than these nationalist micro parties, and it is embarrassing. And one of them, which I want to focus on, is the National Rebirth Party. And I'm going to focus on this for a couple of minutes because Alec Yerbury, the guy who runs it, I had a debate with him over on David Clues's Unity News Network. And I've got to say this. I warned him what would happen. He didn't listen. I warned him on that debate that small parties standing would get annihilated. And he told me that they were doing it a different way, a new way. This was a way no one else had done it before. It was visionary. It was different. They had a national agenda, whatever that means. He told everyone he was going to be Britain's first unelected prime minister. The council wards were so inconsequential that somebody like him and his party wouldn't actually ever contest them. Well, they did. They stood one out of 5,066. And they took 19 votes coming last, taking a paltry 0.7% of the vote. Under 1%. Now, I warned people about this. I warned people about this in a nice way. I entered a public debate and explained it to people. And I said it was time that nationalists poured their time, money and effort into advocacy, activism, community building, land buying, trying to shift the Overton window, but pouring time and money into these elections and coming out with 0.7% is so humiliating. It just turns you into the laughingstock of politics. And let me explain something. If you stand one seat, that means your entire party, can come and help. Everybody. So if you stand one seat, you'd think it would be a national turnout, because that's what it should be, shouldn't it? You know, if you've got a national party and you're claiming you're going places, but you're standing one seat, everybody gets to that one seat, they all pile in, they're all knocking on the doors, they're doing their best, and you go out of your way to win it. And they got 0.7%. This doesn't make us look good. And I'm singling these out because he's been a big critic of mine. And he said all these things about me online. And he's been mocking everybody else and putting everyone else in their place and explaining to them why he's the only one who understands the political situation in Britain. This should be a wake-up call. I warned people about this. I wish they'd listened. I've tried to do it in a nice way, a jokey way, in a bit of a slap around the face way. But come on, guys. How many times do we need to be humiliated, laughed at, and made to look like a bunch of buffoons? Surely now we can see there's a better way. And now you're not just up against Reform, you're up against Restore, who also have a Member of Parliament and have a little bit of wind in their sails. This is humiliating. Now look, don't for a minute think I'm having a go at the candidate. He's a guy named Barry. I'm sure Barry is a lovely guy. I'm sure Barry's heart was in the right place. But if Barry had come to me and said, look, Mark, what do you think about standing here? I said, look, Barry, I understand you're a good guy and you want to make change. But going out there and spending hundreds and hundreds of pounds, wasting dozens of man hours and getting 0.7% is going to make you look like a fool, feel like a fool, and demoralize everyone around you. I've been talking for a long time that we need to do guerrilla politics, i.e. we strike where we can make the biggest impact with the smallest number of people. Going out into these electoral battlefields is not guerrilla politics. It's essentially a situation where you're announcing to the enemy, we're coming out, we're fighting you on your ground where you've got all the money, the resources, the power, the infrastructure, and we've got nothing. And then we cry when we get flattened. It's embarrassing. And I've seen people standing all over the country. I saw it for some of the British Democrat candidates getting 1%. These are decent people. They've been around for decades. But I couldn't send anyone into those council chambers to account where, you know, they stood there scratching their head as one in every 100 votes tumbles out of the ballot box for them. It's become an exercise in humiliation, desperation and humiliation. And it needs to stop. It isn't helping the cause. It's not advancing us. It's not making us look better. It's not taking us to the public in any form of meaningful manner. And what I mean by that, obviously it does take you to the public, but it takes you to the public and the public reject you and laugh at you. That's not meaningful. That's bad. That's bad. Don't do it. This has been an exercise in humiliation for Alec Yerbury, his well-meaning candidate, and the people who helped them. There isn't going to be an Alec Yerbury government. There isn't going to be a situation where the British Democrats take entire councils. That's not how it's panning out. It's just doing the same thing over and over and over again, getting the same result for the same old boys, the same old faces, the same old war horses that never get anywhere. And that's why I've proposed something new. That's why people like Woodlander have proposed something new. That's why the people like Steve Laws are doing Remigration Now, a pressure group, because we can't just keep making these same mistakes over and over again. So that's what I've got to say about the micro parties. And obviously, as all the results come in, as we see them all, the, you know, what the Heritage Party polled, what the National Housing Party polled, what UKIP polled, you know, we'll see, I believe, things getting actually worse. We'll see, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if eventually one of these small parties ended up polling less than 10 votes. It will end up happening. I mean, the National Rebirth Party vote is the worst vote I have ever seen. In the time that I have been active, and there may have been worse votes at some point, But this is the lowest vote I have ever seen for a nationalist candidate at such a low rung of the electoral ladder. You see, it's all right to get 0.7% in a general election when it's all about the big parties. But at local level, that's when the small parties are meant to shine, isn't it? And when we're getting spanked at local level, what hope is there? You know, if you get spanked at a parliamentary election, people kind of expect it. You know, back in the BNP days, we'd be like, look, we classed it as a win if we got 5% and got our deposit back. But at a local election, we expected every candidate to get around 10%. And a lot of candidates were getting 20% plus for just putting out a leaflet. People now are getting 0.7%. And this is a wake-up call. You know, all this idea that, you know, we just need to go out to the people, put the word out. Everyone's so sick of immigration. Everyone's so sick of what's going on. Once they read the leaflet, they're going to come on board. It isn't working. And it's not working because there is a disconnect between what we say online in our little private groups and on X and in these bubbles and what the real world thinks. But there's also two massively well-funded, much bigger parties doing the same thing. Come on, guys, let's give our heads a wobble. I've been right about this. I've been consistent about this. I'm not digging them out. I'm speaking truthfully. And I think everyone in the chat knows what I'm saying is absolutely 100% correct. Awful showing from the micro parties. It's time to knock it on the head. But let's have a look at the national results. And then, remember, we put that asterisk there. We're going to go to Restore Britain / Great Yarmouth first, which are separate parties, and we'll talk about that. But we're going to go to that next. But let's have a look at the big vote, the big, big, big vote. And the big vote is what has happened nationally. Now, all the results are not in yet. Bear that in mind. They're not in yet. Everything's not in yet. But this is what we've got. Here are the results so far. 114 of 136 councils are in. So we haven't got many left to go, only 22 left to go. That's been bouncing up. I mean, it might have bounced. Is it bounced up again? No, it's not. It's sticking at 114 for now. Well, Reform have come out on top. They have ostensibly won this year's elections as we see it now. And they've taken 1,228 seats. They've made a gain of 1,226 seats. So they had two seats before Thursday, and they have kept those two seats, and they have gained 1,226. Now, that is massive. And look, credit where credit is due. That is absolutely incredible. They've clearly taken seats off Labour and the Tories. They have conquered new ground. And that, not from our perspective, but that, from the perspective of the public, is the anti-immigration party. Now, we know they're not really truly anti-immigration as we would like to be, but, or as we are, but we do know that from the public's perspective, they are the anti-immigration party. So seeing the anti-immigration party emerging as the single largest party in terms of number of council seats won at this election is fantastic. This is something to celebrate. This is no black pill. This is the white pill. For the second time in a row, happened last year, second time in a row at a national round of local elections, we have seen Reform come out on top in England. The anti-immigration vote is mobilising. It is mobilising behind Reform. Yes, it is not exactly the ethno-nationalist vote that we want, but something good is coming together. And this is a sign of hope. More people than ever before are willing to go out to the ballot box and vote for an anti-immigration party or a party that is an anti-immigration party. And look, these guys put in a lot of hard work. In my area, we got two leaflets through the door. We had, it was all out elections in our area, so both myself and the wife got to vote for three candidates rather than one. I'll be honest, I'll tell you who I voted for. I voted for all three Reform. They were all three white people. I voted for them. And in my ward, we now have three Reform councillors. And I'm happy about that. In fact, I live under Wakefield District Council. Wakefield District Council used to be almost entirely Labour. It's been a Labour heartland for years. Lots of what falls under Wakefield District Council are old mining villages. And they rejected Labour en masse. Fantastic. Last time I checked the results for Wakefield, Reform had won every seat, or were winning every seat, and had only failed to win two seats as it was. So it's gone from like all, pro-immigration Labour to anti-immigration Reform overnight, stroke of a pen, it's done. I'm happy about that. I'm not cucking by saying that. I'm not saying it's ideal, but it's better than it was on Wednesday. We woke up on Wednesday. We went to the polls on Thursday. And by Friday morning, Wednesday they were Labour. I suppose they were still Labour on Thursday, the council. That'd be the last day as being a councillor, wouldn't it, really? But Thursday's like that transitional day where it's all up in the air, you know. But, you know, Wednesday, we had three Labour councillors. By Friday, it was three Reform councillors. I'm happy about that. I'm happy that people have booted Labour out, smashed that anti-white party who covered up the grooming, who covered up so many anti-white crimes, who crapped on white people. I'm happy. I'm pleased, and I hope my councillors do a good job. And I also will say this. I read all the election leaflets that come through the door. I read the Reform leaflets. They were well designed, informative, and the people looked like nice people. I read the Labour Party leaflet, and all it was about was, don't bring chaos to Wakefield by letting in Reform. Well, here it is. And I think the only people it's going to cause chaos for is the Labour councillors are going to need to go out and get new jobs. Good. Good, 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 good. And I'm pleased that this has happened. There's the white pill, guys. So don't be coming to the stream and saying, Mark Collett's Mr. Black Pill. All he does is say it's going to be the end. It's disaster. I don't think it is a disaster. I don't think it is the end. I think we've seen some good results today. We've seen a good indication that a sizable chunk of the British population, who will be overwhelmingly white Britons, have gone anti-immigration for the second year running. Thumbs up, guys. That is good. Now the bad news, because you know there was bad news. Look at this. We'll give it a quick refresh to see if, well, one more's come in. One more has come in. And the Reform total has shot up there. That's good to see. But so's the Labour. So looking where we are today, we've got Reform, Labour, Lib Dems, Conservative and Green. Now we're going to miss out on the independents, because the vast majority of independents, I know Great Yarmouth First will be amongst that, but the vast majority of these independents will be in ethnic minority areas, and they will be residence associations for Muslim groups. That's sadly the truth. So we'll leave them out, but they would overwhelmingly not be on our side. But let's do this, because we need to. The first sad thing to note is that despite losing 1,108 seats, which is amazing, seeing Labour get decimated like that, they've lost more than half of the seats they held before this so far. Watching Labour get decimated like this is chef's kiss. What's not chef's kiss is the fact they're still in second place and they still took 801 seats. Next, even more bad news. You've got the Lib Dems. Lib Dems are worse than Labour. They're more anti-white than Labour. They're more pro-immigration than Labour. They're more anti-free speech than Labour. They're more pro-woke, anti-family policies than Labour. They are the scum of the earth. They've gained 93 seats. 93 so far. 721 seats. They're in third place. They will be laughing. And the next bad news is the Conservatives. Now, the Conservatives, whereas Labour have lost about 60% of the seats they held, before they went into these elections, Conservatives have had a bad day. They've lost 473, but they've still come out with 647 seats, and they've only lost around 40% of the seats they held. And I say only lost because I want to see them lose them all. I can't stand them. And this is another negative. I mean, there's a silver lining to these clouds in that Labour lost, you know, 60% of their seats, Tories lost 40% of their seats. But the fact they held on to so many seats is very, very depressing. It isn't good news. It's not something I'm looking at and say, oh my gosh, isn't this great? You know, we're absolutely smashing it. No, we're not. There are problems here. And another problem comes in fifth place. The Greens took 412 seats, up by 293. They gained 293 seats, some of which they will have gained from Labour. So some of those Labour seats didn't go anti-immigration. Some of them went even further to the pro-immigration, anti-white. I mean, these guys are anti-letting us drive cars, anti-letting us eat meat. They don't even believe that nation states should exist. They don't even believe that any state should exist. They believe in a borderless world where you should be able to go wherever you want. And they have taken 412 seats, up 293. They will be laughing tonight. So let's have a look. If you say, and this is being very generous, so I'm not saying the Conservatives are on our side. Let's have a look at this. If you say Conservatives are also anti-immigration, which would be the greatest push of all time, and you added the Conservative and Reform vote together, you would end up with 1,884 seats. Now let's add Labour, Lib Dem and Green. And what do you get? I'm doing this live and I'm using a calculator because I'm not doing it in my head and getting it wrong. You get 1,934 seats. So we're going to a massive push here, a massive push by saying that the Conservatives are viewed also as an anti-immigration party. And I know that Badenoch has been saying that they are, but they're absolutely not. Whereas I can absolutely buy Reform as an anti-immigration option. The Conservatives aren't. But let's just say they are for the sake of this argument. Let's just say they are for the sake of this argument because they have campaigned on that too. But even if you add Conservatives in with Reform, more seats went to pro-immigration, open border candidates than went to anti-immigration candidates. The anti-immigration candidates have narrowly missed out in England to the pro-multiracial, pro-multicultural, pro-immigration candidates. And if you said the Conservatives were actually pro-immigration as well, which I would argue they are, that pushes it completely in the favour, overwhelmingly in the favour of the pro-immigration camp. And this is a problem that I've talked about for a long period. And I'm not blackpilling, but I'm hitting you with the truth. And the truth of the matter is, Reform have done amazingly. Reform have broken the mould. They've won two national elections as an outsider party. No other outsider party in history has ever done this. In fact, the only two outsider parties to ever win national elections were actually UKIP and the Brexit Party. The Brexit Party became the Reform Party, and UKIP was also led by Nigel Farage. So Nigel Farage now has won four major national elections as someone outside the mainstream. You might not like him. I might not like him. He might not be our best friend, but hats off to him for what he's done. But ultimately, and rather depressingly, when you add the pro-immigration vote together, pro-immigration took more councillors than anti-immigration. And that is concerning. That is something we have to acknowledge. There is no point partying and whooping and hollering and saying, we are so back, like so many people love to say online. This is good, but it ain't good enough if we're going to save Britain. Do you understand that? This is good. It's a step in the right direction. It is people. It is people starting to wake up. It is a big win in terms of the largest party is a anti-immigration party. But overall, more pro-immigration councillors were elected. This is disappointing. It is disappointing and it needs to be pointed out. Now, this might change. This might change. And it might change because the votes are still coming in. And if I hit the refresh button, another one's come in now. Labour have got maybe the same or slightly more. Reform have definitely got slightly more. It's still pretty much looking like this. But for Labour still to be coming in second place after all the anti-white things they did after Southport, after all the restrictions on freedom of speech, after all the migrants they brought in, all the illegals they've let stay, all the cover they run for grooming gangs. This is a depressing barometer of how anti-white many whites are. White Britons still make up 70% of the population in Britain. But you can see here that, and I've often said this, if 50% of white Britons all came together, that's probably best case scenario, and voted for an anti-immigration party, we could still do it. But we aren't quite getting that, are we, guys? You've got the ethnic minorities and enough whites who want to keep going down this route of multiculturalism, multiracialism and open borders, and it is screwing us. And that's the bottom line. Now, it might change. There are still 20 councils to declare. They're declaring at a decent rate. We'll keep coming back to this through the night to see if anything else happens. But that's important. And looking at it, I think Reform will be happy, but I think they will have hoped for a little more. I think Farage, a young friend of mine tonight, he reminded me of something I'd forgotten, actually. I think Farage damaged himself to some degree by allowing a load of leading Tories in, which would signal to voters that Reform aren't really a party that are going to do much because they're taking in people who didn't do anything. But also it will signal to people that, you know, if Reform are taking in the Conservatives, well, why not vote for the Conservatives? I think Reform could have done slightly better if Farage hadn't bungled it by letting in those Tories. Labour did disastrously in terms of the number of the seats they've lost. That has just jumped up to 1,168 with that last refresh. But for them to come out in second place, it's mind-boggling that so many people are still voting for them. And then to see the Lib Dems in third, they will be over the moon. But they are worse. And look how well they're doing. And then for the Conservatives to have rebounded, and Kemi Badenoch's basically super happy. She's saying, look, we're doing far better than we thought. Why are people coming back to us? Why are people going back to them? They are. It's depressing. And finally, the Greens are going to be over the moon. They've seen a massive jump in seats, but they're the worst of them all. They're the most anti-white of them all. You know, they would literally lock people like me up tomorrow, throw away the key, and then give my house away to a gang of migrants, probably with my family still in it, to be victimised by them. it's pretty grim. It's pretty grim. And I think, you know, there are reasons to be happy, but there are also reasons to be really concerned. And when you look at the big picture of pro-migrant vote versus anti-migrant vote, it's sad to see that the pro-migrant vote edges it out. Now, there is another issue here, because it's not just about England. It's also about Scotland and Wales. We will take a look now at what's happened. We'll have a look in Wales, because that's already declared. Now, Wales, again, shows some hope. Reform have gained 34 seats in the Welsh Assembly. Again, this is a major white pill. For the first time ever, we have serious representation in the Welsh Assembly, a massive block of anti-immigration seats, which is great. Love it. Good to see. And there is no overall majority. So that will allow Reform to hopefully wreak havoc there and frustrate the system. But there is a bigger party. The biggest party in the Welsh Assembly is Plaid Cymru. And Plaid Cymru is a pro-immigration party. Plaid are terrible. They want to turn Wales into what they state is a sanctuary nation, a sanctuary state. One big place where refugees are welcome. These are one of the most left-wing, pro-immigration, pro-migrant, anti-white parties there is. And they are the biggest party in the Welsh Assembly. You then see Labour losing 35 seats, which makes me want to do cartwheels with happiness. I'm very, very happy about that. But they've still got 9 seats. The Conservatives have dropped 22 seats, which again makes me want to do cartwheels with happiness. But they've retained 7, which is again upsetting. The Lib Dems have gained 1 and the Greens have gained 2. But again, you need 49 seats to be a majority. So let's have a look. If you add, I don't need a calculator for this one, guys. If you add the Greens to Labour, to the Lib Dems, you end up with 12. And if you add that to Plaid, you end up with 55. 55 is greater than 49. So sadly, the Welsh Assembly is again a place where the majority of seats are pro-immigration seats. And that's stating that the Conservatives will be anti-immigration, which, you know, that's, as I said, a real push. But again, in Wales, pro-immigration has beat anti-immigration on a national level. Now, this isn't like the English council elections that we spoke of earlier. This isn't the English council election. So there was only 5,066 seats up for grabs in England. Some of it was held off. And we haven't been in a position where we know exactly how every corner of England feels. But we do know how all of Wales feels, because it was a national election. Everybody in Wales had the right to vote. This is the result. Wales voted pro-immigration. That is bad. And look, a lot of people might be saying, Mark, oh, I wanted you to come on here and tell me how it was all going to be great. I've got to be honest with you. And I'm sorry if that doesn't please everyone, but I think it's better to give you this warts and all. So now let's look at Scotland, because Scotland was still coming in. I don't know why it's taken so long to do it in Scotland, maybe because it is quite a vast country where people are spread out. But let's have a look and see what happened in Scotland. So actually, let's go back to England first and do a quick refresh. Oh, Reform have got some more. Labour have lost some more. Oh, no, Labour have clawed some back, it seems. They've clawed some back in the losses there. 117 now. We're down to just 19 councils to declare. But let's have a look at Scotland and we'll do the big refresh. 91 of 129 seats have been declared. So we've still got quite a way to go here. You know, we've still got nearly 40 seats to go. 38 to be precise. Don't worry, guys. I know what I'm doing. I can do basic maths. But you can see the problem again. You've got the Scottish National Party. Thankfully, they've lost 5 seats this time, but they're still already on 55 seats. You need 65 seats for a majority. The Conservatives are down 7. Woohoo! We hate the Conservatives, but they've still got 9. How did that happen? Labour have actually gained in Scotland. But this is a head in hands moment, isn't it? This is one of those moments where you're looking at the results and you're thinking it must be a glitch. This is one of those moments where you think, how can I be reading this? How can I be looking at this and this be the fact? How can Labour have gained? You know, what? You know, this is absolute madness. Labour have made gains in Scotland. The Lib Dems have made gains in Scotland. The Greens have made gains in Scotland. Thankfully, Reform have broken through in Scotland. But they're the smallest party. The smallest. So you have the Scottish National Party, which is, again, a massive pro-immigration party. They have come out just before the elections. Their officials stated that they wanted more immigration. They said Scotland needs more immigration. Immigration is what makes Scotland great. They're all for immigration. Taken 55 seats already. There's still 38 to go. I mean, they could theoretically have the majority themselves again. Then you've got conservatives. We can't really count them as anti-immigration, but we sort of have been doing to try and make it sound as good as it possibly can. Then you've got Labour with this unprecedented gain, Lib Dems with 7, Scottish Greens with 7. So if you add Greens to Lib Dems, that's 14. Add 8, which is Labour, because they're all pro-immigration, you've got 22. Add that to the pro-immigration Scottish National Party, you already have 77 seats in Scottish Parliament that are pro-migration. So whatever happens now, and I would love to refresh this tab now and see the rest of the seats go to Reform, at least as a protest vote against immigration. But even if they did, it wouldn't make a difference. Both Scotland and Wales have effectively voted for more immigration. And if those two governing bodies, the Scottish Parliament and the Welsh Assembly, voted tomorrow for open borders or closed borders, open borders would win in both Scotland and Wales. And Scotland and Wales are 2/3 of the mainland. This is embarrassing. And I'm going to tell you something else. I've made a big deal about young people voting. A really big deal. And I said, Labour are letting 16-year-olds vote at the next general election. So the only reason they're doing that is because they've done the polling data. They know the 16-year-olds are going to vote for them. And this is a dangerous thing. Well, 16-year-olds can vote in Wales and Scotland. And it isn't producing the based result we all wanted, is it? It's not resulting in a massive rush of Reform voters. Wales and Scotland have both voted overwhelmingly for pro-migration candidates. Scotland more so than Wales. But both of those legislative bodies are now packed in a way that will give pro-migration votes the win if it comes down to a vote across the House on whether to make areas sanctuary areas, on whether to give special benefits to migrants, on whether to let asylum seekers remain in the country, on whether they wish to frustrate the Westminster government, if the Westminster government ever tried to deport people, which it won't, but if it did, these legislative bodies would now be able to say, well, we're not allowing that to take place in Scotland. Similarly, you've had the same in America, where, you know, California and other states have frustrated the federal government over things such as deportations. This is a big, big issue. Scotland and Wales, and as I said, this has even happened in England. And we are not seeing this massive rush for reform in Scotland. Scotland has essentially, you know, gone the way we wouldn't want it. Wales, it's a little bit better because Reform have got 34. And here in England, you know, we're closing in on the end now. We're only 19 away from the end. It seems clear that Reform has won it, but at the last minute, Labour have pushed into second, and the pro-migrant vote outweighs the anti-migrant vote. So all, so far, pretty disappointing stuff when you look at the big deal. Oh, sorry, the big issue. And it's really, really unfortunate. Now, there is one thing that we do need to talk about now, and this is probably the big thing that everyone's wanted me to talk about. This is the issue of Restore Britain. Now, Restore Britain did not stand any candidates, but Rupert Lowe has two parties. Now, firstly, I want to say this. There is Restore Britain and there is Great Yarmouth First. They are two distinct individual political parties. They are both registered as separate entities with the Electoral Commission, and they are both limited companies registered separately with Companies House. They are both separate. People are saying they're sisters. Some people are saying the same thing. They're not the same thing. They are different, separate parties. That's a fact. Now, Restore didn't stand anyone. And there's an asterisk by that. I've already said that. I'm going to tell you why. Great Yarmouth First did stand 10 seats and they won them all. And they won them all emphatically. They smashed it. They did really well. They're going to be super proud about it. And I think they won almost every seat with an actual majority. That's incredible. And Rupert Lowe and his supporters are going to be very, very, very happy about that. But first thing to note is it was not Restore that won these seats. It was Great Yarmouth First. Now, all of those councillors, and all they are is local councillors, could cross the floor tomorrow and become Restore Party councillors. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they'll stay as Great Yarmouth First councillors. I don't know how it's going to be handled. At the moment, they're Great Yarmouth First. They are not Restore. This hasn't been a win for Restore. It has, however, been an emphatic win for Rupert Lowe and Great Yarmouth First. And they're going to be very proud about it, and they're going to be crowing about it. And you've already got a lot of people saying, this is it. We're going to win. The future is assured. This is now going to be replicated across the country. We're going to have this replicated across the entire nation. You know, everywhere you go, this is going to be done. If Restore can do it in Great Yarmouth under the name Great Yarmouth First, I know they're separate, but this is what people are saying. If Great Yarmouth First can do it there so emphatically, Restore can do it anywhere. This is our chance. Restore are going to sweep Reform away because they beat Reform in all 10 of those awards. You know, Reform are going to take second place, ultimately will be smashed, they'll be irrelevant, and Restore are going to sweep it. And you know what? I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that one bit, and I'm going to tell you why. Great Yarmouth First stood in 10 seats. They won them all, and they won them emphatically. That's good. They should be absolutely praised for doing it. The way they fought the seats was brilliant. The effort they put in was top notch, and their campaign was brilliant. But the campaign they ran to win those seats cannot be replicated nationwide. And let me tell you why. First, Rupert Lowe is a multi-millionaire and he lives in Great Yarmouth. He essentially has bottomless pockets to fund that party, which is what he did. He won't be able to do that nationwide. Secondly, he is the MP for Great Yarmouth. MPs get what is known as a communication budget. The communication budget allows MPs to send communications to all those who live in the constituency. This is how MPs help to swing elections. They bombard their constituents outside of the election period, and they do so to soften up the electorate. Rupert Lowe is only an MP in Great Yarmouth. He's not an MP elsewhere. So he isn't, or Restore won't benefit from that elsewhere. He's also a local celebrity. So you've got three things there that won't be able to be replicated nationally. The first is you have a millionaire in the area who's just going to throw money at this, because if he spends £1,000 per ward, and each ward can only allow £1,000 worth of spending, and there's 10 wards, well, he spent 10,000. Well, that to a multimillionaire who's worth £30 million, which is roughly what Rupert Lowe is worth, that's chump change. He isn't going to care about that. But he isn't going to put up £1,000 worth of material for 5,066 council seats. Nor could he. And I'll explain why in a second. Nor could he. Rupert Lowe is also only an MP in Great Yarmouth. And he's only a local celebrity in Great Yarmouth. So Restore Britain, if it does stand the national slate, like Reform did. And remember, Reform stood 4,812 candidates, which was more than the Conservatives, who comparatively only stood 4,777. But let's say Restore Britain tried to match Reform. They couldn't benefit from Rupert Lowe being the MP. They couldn't benefit from unlimited money. And they couldn't benefit from Rupert Lowe's celebrity and communication budget, because those are all local to Great Yarmouth. Great Yarmouth and Rupert Lowe are tied It's his backyard. It's his stomping ground. It's his home turf. He has an absolute advantage in Great Yarmouth, an advantage that doesn't exist outside of the area. It might exist elsewhere in Norfolk, in surrounding areas, but it wouldn't affect Leeds, Sunderland, Newcastle, Wakefield, Birmingham, you know, Anglesey, parts of Scotland. It just doesn't exist there. But also something else happened at this election. Great Yarmouth First ran what I would consider the most incredible and advanced electioneering at a council election that I have seen. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I said Great Yarmouth First and Restore are separate parties. They are. But Rupert Lowe had hundreds of people from all over the country who were part of Restore head to Great Yarmouth. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of Restore supporters came from all over the country to Great Yarmouth to campaign. I've been told that on single days, there were upwards of 500 activists out at once, knocking on every door, leafleting, meeting people in public areas. This was a campaign that was unrivaled. In fact, the campaign in those 10 seats in Great Yarmouth was probably equal to or better than what most parties do at a parliamentary by-election. And that is something that again cannot be replicated. And I'll tell you why. The reason most parties do that at a by-election is because that's the only election happening on that day in the whole country. So Labour will say, right, there's a by-election in June. Every single activist in the country must get to that constituency. So they'll have 200, 300, 400 people out. And Reform does the same, and the Conservatives do the same, and the Lib Dems do the same, and the Greens do the same. Now, the only reason Great Yarmouth First could produce that campaign is because they got Restore supporters from all over the country to come to Great Yarmouth and pull off something that has rarely been seen, if ever has been seen before. Now, unfortunately, if Restore were to stand somewhere in the region of 4,800 seats, that 500 activists would not be concentrated in 10 wards in Great Yarmouth. They'd be split all over those 4,800 seats. 500 activists in a single day in 10 wards is 50 activists per ward. Whew! That's some big stuff. That's, you know, when the whole of Leeds BNP got together to leaflet one ward, it would be like 30 people. Well, Great Yarmouth First had 50 people per ward in 10 wards. But if they were standing 4,800 seats, 500 activists wouldn't even be one activist per seat. In fact, 500 activists wouldn't even be enough to have a candidate in each seat. Now, the issue is this. What's happened here is fantastic. What's happened here is, unprecedented. For a new party to come out of nowhere and to win by such large numbers, it's incredible. But the means by which they won can only work when you stand 10 candidates. It can't work when you stand 4,000, 5,000 candidates, because it's a concentration of resources which cannot be duplicated on a national level. Just as Rupert Lowe's status as an MP, just as Rupert Lowe's local influence, wealth, communications budget can't be duplicated nationally. neither can this concentration of resources. Now, I'm not saying Reform are going to out and out flop, but I think what's happened here, despite being fantastic, is very, very misleading. Now, this is the kind of thing that other parties do at a parliamentary by-election, as I said. Now, if there was a parliamentary by-election and Restore did this, they would be cancelled out because every other party would be doing the same. But in this case, they were the only party putting on a campaign of that magnitude, and it allowed them to eclipse everyone else. But when they stand nationally, or when every other party can concentrate their resources equally, it will be completely different. So yes, people are going to be excited about this. But I believe that this appears to be an anomaly. Now, I may be wrong. They might do this elsewhere. But looking at all the facts, this is the kind of thing that comes about because of resources being allocated in such a way that can't be replicated if they expand. Now, if Great Yarmouth First or Restore decide to stand 10 seats again next time, they could absolutely do this and they could keep doing it. But you can't just win 10 seats a time each time, because then, you know, to get 1,000 seats, it's like 100 years. You can't keep doing like that. You basically got to look at this and be happy for what you've got, but to understand the shortcomings of this kind of concentration of power. If you want a historical analogy, you know, what Restore have done here is like the beginning of Operation Barbarossa. It's a huge surprise attack. It's a massive concentration of resources. And initially it's like, yay. But in a longer, drawn out war where those resources are spread out and supply lines aren't as, you know, close to the front line and aren't, you know, aren't stretched at all. Sorry, in a more long, drawn out war where the supply lines are stretched and where you can't supply your troops and there's no concentration of resources because you spread out over a vast area, it can't be replicated. And I fear this is the moment where they sort of break through and everyone says, you know, wow, they've done well. But it's because there's an element of surprise, a concentration of resources, and there is a campaign that can't be replicated for numerous reasons. And this isn't meant to be some huge black pill. It's just genuinely, I have been involved in elections so many times, and I've seen the BNP win council elections when there was 50, 60, 70 activists from all over the country out pounding the streets. And when it came to regular council elections, we couldn't match that, because then we were standing 300 something candidates and you couldn't replicate 70, 80 activists from all over the country in every ward. That's just a reality. But it does show you something, and it kind of backs up one of my points, that ultimately this is what nationalists could do if we all move to the same area. This is what a local power base with national support can achieve. Can you imagine if, you know, 500 nationalist families moved to a small town somewhere, or moved to an area like Great Yarmouth and decided that we were going to go out every day and knock on doors and talk to people? Well, we'd run the local council, we'd have an MP, and we could pull up the drawbridge. This is what the concentration of power through a local power base can do. And as I said, I totally praise Rupert Lowe and Great Yarmouth for what they've done. But I think people need to reserve a little bit of their happiness. People are jumping around right now saying, like, this is it. We're on the road to victory. I don't see it. People are asking, how can we super chat now? Entropy's gone. You have to go to Rumble, please, and do the super chats there. If you log into Rumble, you can donate at any time for that. I will answer all super chats shortly. Please do be generous if you can, because I put a lot into producing this, but that's how you super chat now. Entropy's gone. If you won't use Rumble, please go to my Substack and you can subscribe to me there. And again, that is super appreciated if people wish to do that. People can become a paid subscriber at any time through there and support me with monthly donations where they set how much they want to donate. All of my recurring subs through Entropy have now gone. Please, please do help me by going to sites like Substack and Rumble. So that's my take really on Restore. So let me sum things up then. From my point of view, I'm actually pleased that I wasn't doing elections this year because it's been disastrous for micro ethno-nationalist parties. I'm actually pleased I'm doing the community building. I'm pleased I'm doing the things I'm doing. And I think these elections have proved something. Unfortunately, it's proved how long or how far away we are from success in terms of the small ethno-nationalist parties and winning elections. We're a long way off where we need to be. And I've got to talk about this. There's a lot of people online who are saying we're winning the battle online, we're winning the battle on X. You know, everyone's talking about ethno-nationalism, everyone's talking about deportations, you know, everyone's talking about this hard line on X. I believe that's a bubble. I believe, you know, 200-300 likes, 400 likes, 1,000 likes, it's not representative of the wider electorate. And we've seen that. We've seen that in the fact that the pro-migration vote in both England, Scotland and Wales was bigger than the anti-migration vote. We've got to make sure we don't get drawn into these online bubbles, this X bubble of likes and shares and, wow, I've got 20 positive comments on my, you know, tweet that says deport them all. This is it. Ride to victory, dudes. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. And we've got to back away from that and look at the facts and figures like we have tonight. We can't live in this dream world where we think the public is just about to embrace our talking points, because they're not. And that's why groups like the National Rebirth Party, that's why groups like the British Democrats and other micro parties have completely and utterly failed to break through. And that's not me being mean to anyone. That's not me crapping on these people. It's just being honest. And even the soft anti-immigration vote, even if you include the Conservatives with that, it didn't outweigh the pro-immigration vote. So people have got to stop living in this bubble. That's just how it is, guys. You know, there is this nationalist copium as well, and we've got to drop the copium. People have been saying all day, well, the real winner was the people who didn't vote. You know, the turnout was low. People say this. Look, has everyone watched Lord of the Rings? I bet everyone's watched Lord of the Rings, haven't they? I really loved going to the cinema. I watched all three Lord of the Rings originally at the cinema. And I intend to go back and watch them all on the special editions where they're like 3-4 hours each. But I watched them all in the cinema. And I've got to say, my favourite Lord of the Rings when I went to the cinema was actually The Two Towers. I thought that was incredible. And everyone knows what I'm going to say. The Battle of Helm's Deep blew my mind when I saw that on the big screen. The massed ranks of Uruk-hai, the rain coming down, the beleaguered troops made up of, you know, the riders of Rohan, the heroes who had been on the earlier journey, elves, dwarves fighting together against this mass of evil being commanded by Saruman. I loved it. And at the end of The Two Towers, there's a moment when it all looks grim. Helm's Deep has been breached. The Uruk-hai are in. They're going to slaughter everyone in there. The defenders have lost. The defenders have lost. And then Gandalf rides in from nowhere with his cavalry. And from the rear, he cuts through the Uruk-hai, destroying them all, scattering them, ruining them. And you're like, yes, this is it. You know, Helm's Deep has been relieved at the last moment. The defenders are going to live. And people in nationalist politics have been talking about this fantasy of all these people who are sitting at home and don't vote, one day turning up like Gandalf the White with an army of cavalry and winning it for us at the last moment out of nowhere. That's pure copium. It hasn't happened ever. It didn't happen for the National Front. It didn't happen for the BNP. And I don't think it's going to happen now.
Right.
You can't rely on people who are too lazy to even go out and vote. Now, I go out and vote every year, every damn year. Do you know why I go out and vote every year? Because it's my duty, even if I spoil my ballot paper. But this idea that the people who are too lazy to vote are going to one day rescue us is nonsense. There's another bit of nationalist copium. Reform would have done better if they were more hardline. That's not true. Reform lost out to some degree. They still did really well, but they lost out to some degree. And they probably lost maybe 100 seats to the Tories because they took on too many traitorous Tories, which they never should have. But the idea that the public are just waiting for somebody like Rupert Lowe to go on TV and say, you know, 1488, it's time, let's go, boys. And then everyone's going to go out and be like, whoa, he's blown my mind. That isn't true. We need to drop the copium and look at what's actually happening. There are still more people out there voting for the old three parties, Lib, Lab, Con, than there are voting for reform. If you total up Labour, Lib Dems and the Conservatives, I'm just refreshing that page again because more votes are coming in and Labour are pulling away in second place now. But if you total up, there are still more people voting for the establishment than are voting for reform. That is worrying. And, you know, it is amazing what Restore / Great Yarmouth First did, but they did it on such a limited level, it is unlikely to be replicated. These are facts. We are living in worrying times. Now, bearing in mind that elections are now effectively closed off for ethno-nationalists, that reform and the Restore are the only game in town, I say reform, restore, because I think the public will eventually see them as largely interchangeable. And I think they might end up cancelling each other out, as I've already spoken about. I think that's still a worry. What do you think we should be doing? Well, I think we as nationalists should carry on community building, raising awareness, carrying out white advocacy. But we need to stop messing around with the micro parties. This is my final take. I've said this many times. We're living in a worrying period. The ethnic split in Britain is 70%, 30%. 70% white Britons, 30% ethnic minority. That means if 50% of white Brits, which would be a massive high point, voted for an anti-immigration party, that would at best garner us 35% of the vote, which would be just enough to win a general election. But at the moment, 50% of our people are not voting for that party. You can see that. You can see that in today's results. We are not getting enough of our people out there to vote. Too many white people have suicidal levels of empathy. Too many white people now have somebody of mixed race origin in their family, a non-white friend that they feel offending that non-white friend would be more important than the notion of saving their race. These are facts, and we need to take these on board when we plan our next moves. Because if our next moves are to be successful, they must be based on fact, statistics. They can't be based on copium and feelings and blind hope. I would love to say to all of you tonight, look, this has proven that a small ethno-nationalist party can do it. You know, get behind this particular party and we'll give it to the public, tell the absolute truth and we will break through. That hasn't happened. We've had some big wins. We've had reform coming out on top. Yes, an anti-immigration party is the biggest party. We've had a really strong showing in Wales for reform. That is good. We've had the spectacular votes for Great Yarmouth First. All these things are good, positive, yes. But the fact is, all of this, as of yet, is not enough. We have a long way to go. And I've said this many times. I've been doing this 26 years. With a little bit of luck, and God's grace, I'll be doing it for another 26 and be fighting until I'm an old man, until I've got fight, you know, as long as I've got fight left in me, I'll be doing this. But it's a long road. Those who are here thinking there is a short-term solution, a quick victory on the horizon, today's results prove there is hope, but there's an awful long way to go. And bearing that in mind, we need to redouble our efforts. We need to make sure we're spending our time wisely and using our limited money and resources in the best way we can. I hope more than anything that we keep seeing Labour and the Tories battered. But the thing that overwhelmed me this morning when I woke up, and I'll show you this again, was this. Yes, Reform atop. But oh my God, how have Labour ended up in second? Oh my God, how have Lib Dems gone up into third? Oh my God, why is anyone still voting Tory? And finally, bloody hell, there's a lot of nutcases voting Green. That's the reality of where we are. And as such, if this continues in this way and doesn't improve in somewhat of a dramatic way, especially in Scotland and Wales, that's where we need the most dramatic improvement, is Scotland and Wales, then we will be a minority. These results are good, but they are not good enough. And as such, we need to pursue our own intentional communities, and we still need to have hope, but we also need to have an eye on preparing for potentially, and if these results hold, definitely being a minority, because this isn't enough to turn that around. I hope that's not too blackpilling, and that brings me to an end of the things I'm going to say. We've had some amazingly generous super chats tonight. So thank you to those who super chatted, and I will now answer your questions. It Was Made Up gave $10. Thank you so much. Said, good analysis so far. I think these results are very positive in terms of people's willingness to vote for what is ostensibly an anti-immigration party. I agree. And it is good to see anti-immigration parties on top. Damien Demento gave $10. Thank you so much. And he said, hi, Mark, do you think there is still a large percentage of Labour voters who can be appealed to who are stuck in the past, e.g. unforgiving of Thatcher's Britons, the coal mines, etc.? This is the most difficult question I could be asked, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. And this is hand on heart. As somebody doing this for 26 years, as somebody who's dedicated my life to this, and as somebody who's got two small children who I obviously love very much, I don't know. I ask myself this question every day, and I ask myself this when I see results like this. What needs to happen to appeal to the whites still voting Labour, still voting Tory? The whites that we're meant to be winning over. I think the people voting Lib Dem and I think the people voting Green are too far gone. That's why I didn't include them. I don't think you're winning those people over. If you're voting for parties that are that nakedly pro-LGBT, pro-immigration and anti-white, you're not winning those people. They have to be cut away. You know, you have to seek some form of pruning there. You know, when a branch of the tree is so rotten, it's going to infect the rest of the tree. It has to go. Those whites, we can't win them back. And wasting our time on them would just be the most grotesque squanderance of our resources. But can we win more people from Labour and the Conservatives? I honestly don't know. I wish I had an answer to that. I remember as a young lad, and I've probably told this story before. Hello, I'm just calling on behalf of the British National Party. I'm your local candidate. My name is Mark Collett. I'm standing in your ward, Richmond Hill, for this election, sir. Do you think I could rely on your vote? Because we are standing against immigration. We're standing for local people. I went through this so many times. I still remember it now. This guy went, don't say anything more, lad. Don't say anything more. I agree with everything you say. Take your paper back, lad. I don't need to read that. I know what's in it, and I agree. Can I rely on your vote then, mate? No. I'm voting Labour. My dad voted Labour. His dad voted Labour. And they'd turn in their graves if they thought I was going to vote BNP. I agree with everything you're going to say, but I'm never going to vote for you, mate. It's just who we are. We're a Labour family. What do you do with him? What can I do with him? I was there, and as a man who was, I think I was 22 at the time, stood there in my suit, shirt and tie, in the afternoon sun, burning through shoe leather, I just didn't know what to say. And I've never known what to say to people like that. This generational voting is why I am so passionate about smashing Labour and the Tories. But can we do it? I don't know. I don't know what it would need. You know, if you said to people, what do you think it would take to get people to wake up? And somebody said, well, maybe it would take the mass rape and sexual assault of white British girls by migrant men. Well, you think that would make them wake up, but it's already happened. And they're still voting Labour. They're still voting Tory. And this is what puts us in such a bad position. This is what puts us in such an awful predicament. Because I haven't got an answer to this. And I've got answers to everything else. I think I've answered everything else really well today. I felt this stream has gone really well. But this is one thing. I'm sorry, Damien, I don't have an answer. But thank you for the $10. But I don't know what will wake them up. I mean, my hope was always that one day, maybe economic conditions got worse. Maybe a party abolishes the sacred triple lock pension scheme. I don't know. But if the mass rape of white girls, if the complete cultural takeover of entire towns and cities hasn't woken these people up, it's hard to see what will. And those, you know, huge votes, and I can refresh it again. You know, have we got any more results come in? Yeah, we have. We have got some more results come in. We've got up to 123, and Labour are still in second place on 888. How do you shake that? They're still in second place. I genuinely don't know, mate. That is me, Mark Collett, stumped. So thank you for the $10, my friend, though. It is great, gratefully appreciated. Ryan Winterburn gave a dollar and said, just donating. Well, thank you so much. Bodder Nielsen gifted one gifted sub. Thank you very much. If you claim the gifted subs, please keep them up. Hazelnut 3000 gave $10 and said, thanks, Mark. Thank you very much. And Draven J gave an incredible $200. Well, thank you so much, my friend. That is extremely kind. I can't thank you enough. And as I say to anyone who donates figures like that, if you ever do meet me, come and introduce yourself. If you're ever in my area, you know, I would come out for coffee and tea, and you can ask questions to me all afternoon. So thank you so much. And he said, this is the best commentary anywhere. I knew it would be. Sorry to hear about Entropy. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you so much. You've made a major impact tonight, and I can't thank you enough, my friend. S. Stan 1 gave $10 and said, great analysis, long way to go for sure. And I agree with that. And thank you so much again. And thank you to everyone who's donated. It's been a really good night, and I hope people have enjoyed and people have been very generous. And I can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart for doing that. And before we wrap things up, we will just go over one last time to see if anything's changed. So a close of play before we close the stream. At 123 of 136 with 13 left to declare, Reformer out in front with 1,374, but Labour in second, Lib Dems in third, and Conservatives making last minute gains and look like they could overtake the Liberal Democrats and go into third. A depressing way to leave it, but although people have swung anti-immigration, it isn't enough. A look in Wales, we've already seen that. There's the final result. And in Scotland, there are still a number of seats to be declared, 23 in fact. Labour have made one loss overall now. The Scottish National Party are down by five. Thankfully, we have seen a last minute burst towards reform. They're now the third party with 10 seats. Sadly, the Scottish Greens have gone up by four. And as you can see, it is a clear majority in Scottish Parliament for the pro-immigration lot. So that's where we'll leave it. I will keep updating you if anything major happens on Telegram and Gab. I may be back Sunday for a stream. You can subscribe to me now on Substack. Please check out my article about the new Zionist power grab in Britain and the new legislation that's going to gag us all. It's very important. And this might come as a shock to you, But I'm going to close things down and pop over to David Clues' stream because he has kindly invited me on tonight. I'm going to go and talk about this a little bit with him, see what his perspective is. So if you'd like some more of my takes, and if you like David's takes, and David's a really good friend of mine, I don't want to be the guy who's taking it easy on a night like this. So I am I'm going to go over and join David in a couple of minutes when I've finished this. So thank you to everyone who tuned in. Thank you to everyone who supported, and thank you to everyone who donated so generously. It's been a great night. I hope you've enjoyed the commentary, and obviously there'll be updates if anything wacky happens with those last few steeds still waiting to come in. You know I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being so generous. I can't thank you enough. And I'll see you all again soon. Love you all, and good night.